like it was a good place to start the year. It says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice on the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law." It's the start of a new year, and it's good to be together. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but also because by it I see everything else." And I think it's a powerful quote by C.S. Lewis, and it's true of God's Word. Because we don't only see God's Word, but we see everything else through God's Word. It's the light by which we interpret and understand all that is around us. It is the lens through which we need to look at our lives and look at our world. And what better place to start the year is in the Word of God, and the value that we place on the Word of God. And it amazed me, I was looking at Matthew 26 and verse 52. It says there, this was when Jesus was arrested, and the guys with their swords and their clubs, and Peter took out a sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. And it says, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Put your sword back in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scripture be fulfilled that it must be so?'" And this is just describing the guys arresting, coming to arrest Jesus, to crucify him, to nail him to a cross. And what's so interesting in this incredibly tense crisis, life-threatening crisis, the thing that Jesus is aware of is the fulfillment of God's word. Like he said, "I could have preserved myself, I could call for angels, but I am here on this world to fulfill God's purpose, for the fulfillment of scripture. And if I were to resist these guys coming to crucify me, I would be messing up all that God has planned, all that God has said, all that the scripture has prophesied." And he is mindful. His whole world is dictated to by the word of God. Even in that incredibly escalating circumstance, Jesus is thinking about the word. The word defines his world, and he lives according to the world. And even those confronting circumstances don't put him off, because of his knowledge and understanding and faith in the Word of God and God's purpose for his life. That's why the Word plays such an important place in our lives. We want our world to be governed by the Word, so that even if we face crisis in this year, whatever we might face in this year, the Word is the thing that's foremost in our minds that we want to fulfill. It's so powerful. And one of the most powerful things about God's Word, probably the most powerful thing about God's Word, is that it reveals the Lord to us. It reveals who God is. And this text that we're looking at today is a beautiful prophetic passage concerning Jesus Christ. And it starts with that exhortation, "Behold my servant." The Spirit of God through the prophet is saying, look at Jesus. Look at the Messiah. Look at the servant of the Lord. The one paraphrase puts it like this: take a good look at my servant. And as we begin this year, we want to take a good look at Jesus. We want to look at him again like we do pretty much every week, all the time. We want to say, this is the way to start the year, is focusing on the beautiful person of Jesus. I had a headmaster who every year in my primary school, every year at the beginning of the year, he'd read us this poem. And it goes like this. "And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness, put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than the known way.' So I went forth, finding the hand of God, and trod gladly into the night." And it was a very profound wisdom. Grateful for that repeated wisdom, because there's nothing better we can do as we go into an unknown world, go into a dark world, as we even heard from those other scriptures, but put our hands in the hand of him who is called light. and behold Him, keep our attention focused on Him. And New Year's resolutions are great to a degree. But the primary thing we should be valuing this year is our relationship with God. That we draw close to God, that we continue to draw close to God because it's a journey. And that we put our hand in the hand, as the old song said, of the man who stilled the sea. Put our hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. And we want to be close to Him. We want to be beholding Him and looking at Him. Connecting with Him, catching His heart. And this passage that we're looking at today is so full of the heart of God. It's so full of the mission of God. It's so full of Christ's attitude and His intention. And we want to align our lives this year. We want to have any sort of resolution. Let's align our lives with what we see in Jesus, as God has revealed to us through Jesus. And I want to start just there in verse 1, where it says, "Behold." But it says, "Behold my servant." And it's a beautiful description of Jesus. The servanthood of Jesus is something that we come across so often, and we visit it often, because it's such a strong emphasis of Scripture on Jesus' servanthood and how that should inform and form our lives. And we are called to be a people who are profoundly different to the world. And it is servanthood that makes us profoundly different. It's a countercultural lifestyle that's contrary to the nature of a fallen world. Let's look in this passage, Matthew 24, verse 17. It says, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." If we look around us at the world, we see these signs unfolding before us in the news cycle. The end could be very, very soon. So many of the signs are lining up. We're definitely in the birth pains. And it's a sobering picture that this scripture paints of the end times in which we're called to shine the light, as we heard earlier this morning. It's a dark world in which we're called to shine the light. And the Bible says that lawlessness, the abandoning of God's ways, God's wisdom and God's word, will become the law. That's the reality. The Bible says because of lawlessness, and what is lawlessness but anti-God, and what is God but love? So lawlessness is a loveless world. It's a loveless world, and no wonder the Bible says, because of the lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. And the ugliness of this world has the capacity to quench love in the human heart. And it's a loveless world in which we are called to go and preach the gospel. And that's the challenge to us. And it says here that everything in this world around us is trying to extinguish the flame. The word there for grow cold in the Greek can also mean extinguish. It can also mean put out the fire. So the atmosphere of this world is like an asphyxiating, oxygenless atmosphere. Trying to put out the fire of love. Trying to quench the fire of love. And trying to extinguish it. And it's a terrible development. But the challenge to us is that in the middle of that environment, in the middle of that atmosphere, we are called to bring the oxygen of love. We're called to bring the fuel of love that can rekindle the flame in a broken world. We are called to have hearts full of love in a loveless world. We're called to represent a God who is love, who is defined as love. In a world that's going to become where the love of many will grow cold. To burn brightly with white hot love. That's not for the faint-hearted. It's for the courageous. It's for the spirit-filled believers of God. I'd like to say the world in general is just going to get better and better, more utopian. But the Bible says it's not. But the Bible says in the middle of that, there is a fire that burns stronger than the darkness. There is an oxygen that's stronger than the asphyxiation of hatred. And God is calling us to be the agents of that love. What a lovely challenge. What a lovely purpose. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 says this. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, and not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Sin is the opposite of love. Sin is me first rather than you first or we first. Sin is the, it's self-serving is the perversion of servanthood. It takes servanthood and turns it inwards onto just loving myself rather than loving God, loving good, loving others. And if we are going to be the people God wants us to be in these times, we need to be tapped in to a powerful source of love. And that love, that source is nothing other than the heart of God, nothing other than the person of God coming to us through the Holy Spirit. We need to be love experts in a loveless world. We need to be loved experts who are experts in loving. Matthew, just going back to our Matthew passage, and we won't read it again, but I want to just highlight something. I think I put them in yellow. Bible says we will be hated by all nations. Not one of those fridge magnet bumper sticker type statements. We're going to be hated by all nations because of the God we love and the lovely God we love. We're going to be hated. But then it says the gospel of the kingdom, who's preaching it? Us. No one else. Will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. So the all nations that are going to hate us are the target of our mission. All nations that are going to hate us are all nations that God has called us to go and reach with His love. Quite an assignment. This is your assignment, should you accept it. That's what God has for us in these end times. How exciting is that? Scary, but exciting. And we are not just to give up in the face of this trend of evil. We're not just to concede territory. The Bible calls us to be praying and loving and preaching in the middle of this, because the gospel is powerful to change that trend towards lovelessness. And it makes a difference in individuals' lives. It makes a difference in family lives. It makes a difference in communities' lives. Is that old story that's just come to mind about the little boy or little girl, I don't know, who was throwing starfish back. A whole lot of starfish had been beached on the beach. And there was someone throwing starfish back. And someone came along and looked at the thousands of starfish and they said, "What in the world are you doing?" He said, "I'm throwing the starfish back into the sea so that they'll survive." And the person said, "You're crazy. How can you make a difference? Look at all the starfish. You can't make any difference." And the little person picked up another starfish and they threw it back in and they said, "I made a difference to that one." And guys, that's what it's like. The one that we can make a difference for makes all the difference. And look at what 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 says. "First of all then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and for all who are in high places, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." This isn't a hoping for persecution. This isn't a giving into the status quo. This is trusting God to make a change, praying for God to change even governmental situations so that men and women can come to know the gospel, so that there can be an environment, even in the middle of the madness, there can be environments where we're able to preach the gospel. And the gospel can change. As it changes one heart, it changes a family. As it changes a family, it can change a community. It can even change nations. If we look at history, the gospel has changed nations from pagan nations to nations that have been redeemed and saved, not entirely, but have been brought into Judeo-Christian direction significantly enough that evils have fallen away. So we don't concede to the devil. We just carry on. Wherever we find a starfish to make a difference for, we want to make that difference. The flames of love will flicker. The darkness will increase. But the text says something beautiful about Jesus. If we go back to Isaiah text, and again, I won't read it all, but I want to look at verse 3. It says there, the bruised reed, he will not break. The faintly burning wick, he will not quench. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a beautiful thing about our Savior? He's a gentle healer. He's a gentle redeemer. And if he finds there's just a little ember of love that this cold, hard, sinful, lawless world is trying to snuff out, Jesus comes with his love and his grace and his Holy Spirit and blows on it, trying to kindle it. He doesn't just go, lost cause. That person's too addicted, too broken, too entrapped. No, he goes, there's a burning wick there. There's hope there. There's hope for this starving. And blows into them. There's nothing more beautiful than when you're trying to get a fire lighted and you blow that and you hear that. It starts to burn up again. And then the other wood around it starts to, that's been wet and dampened, starts to dry out and it starts to burn and blaze. And you set the fire so that oxygen can come in. And it starts to roar and it becomes this beautiful hot thing again. We can see that happening in communities and even nations as we love. In the middle of the darkness, as we love in the middle of the coldness of hatred, as we preach this powerful gospel, and as we represent Jesus in the midst of that. Jesus' heart and mission is to find anyone broken by a loveless world and then gently bring healing and rekindle love in their lives so that they can become an agent of love. Wow, how amazing. I just want to share a testimony. Chris and Magumi, friends from a related church that we've prayed for, been involved in contributing even to their ministry in Goya, Nagoya, in Japan. It's a nation with less than 1% of Christians, and they are there planting a church. And they were just saying that they minister to families, non-Christian families, through the children that come to their children's ministry. And they had a little girl who went back to her mom and said, "Mom, I love two people. I love you. And I love Jesus." And the mom was like, "What? I want to know more about that." So she approached them and she said, I want you to tell me more about this." So Magumi went and spent time with her reading the book of Matthew together and answering her questions about the faith. And then very recently, Magumi said to her, "Is this making sense? Do you believe this? Would you like to commit your life to Christ?" And she committed her life to Christ. And Chris just wrote this. He said, "It has taken almost 3 years of monthly outreach events, other relationship building, multiple one-on-one Bible studies, and the gospel presentations, but she finally made a decision. Salvation in Japan is like this. It takes time and dedication. We have several other families in the process of being comfortable to relate to us in the community, but they need to hear the gospel a few more times and have a chance to work through some questions before they can believe." Guys, what a wonderful thing in such a dark place that there are people just blowing on the one little ember, the one little broken life. This lady was struggling from depression, had to give up her job, mother of two, single mother of two, a real broken reed, a real smoldering wick. Gospel of Jesus Christ. The people of Jesus Christ coming. And those women's come to Christ. Let's keep praying for them, please. They need our prayers. But let's also be challenged by that testimony. it's discouraging sometimes when you're trying to witness to your neighbors and your friends and you don't see, like, doesn't seem like there's any growth. But let's not give up on the starfish. Let's not give up. Not be overwhelmed by the size of the challenge and the size of the problem. Let that encourage us. In this dispensation, God has filled us with the Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fulfill this mission, Jesus' mission. Going out and rekindling the flame, reversing the trend in our world. May God help us to be love experts. Guys, the only way we can do this, with the world hating us, with people falling away and hating you, is to be connected to the source of love. Is to be able to draw from that source. God who is love. Our church vision, our purpose statement is simply this. I think it's the next slide. Loved by Him. This is what we want to be. This is what we want to be. Loved by Him. We want to be loving Him. And we want to be loving like Him. We're going to visit that again just to refresh our, why do we do what we do? Why do we gather? What are we doing together? What are we encouraging each other to do? We've got to learn to draw from that source. We've got to learn to live in the revelation and the experience of God's love towards us. Not always that easy. Then we need to respond as we realize how much He's loved us. That place of intimacy and joyous response to love Him back, which is our worship and our service and our desire to please His heart. And then as we love Him, we find out He loves the world. And if we love Him, we love each other. We love each other within the body of Christ. And we show the world what love looks like in a community. And we get out into the world and we love them. The highest good we can do for anyone is to introduce them to Christ. That's our mission. May God help us to be love experts as we lay down our lives for God and for others and for good. God is looking for a servant-hearted people so that He can say, "Behold my servants. Behold my servants." Committed, servant-hearted, not a consumeristic Christianity that, what's best for me, what works for me, it isn't working for me, I'm moving on. No. I am here to serve God, serve others. And when the going gets tough, which it does relationally, we say, "No, I'm here to serve." What a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then the next thing we want to look at is the other amazing thing that's true of Jesus. It says here in Isaiah 42 again, it says, "Behold my chosen servant, in whom my soul delights." What an amazing thing. This is what God says about Jesus. "My soul delights in my son." My soul delights in my Jesus, my beautiful boy, as he serves the world. I'm delighted by his life. And it says in John 8, verse 29, "And he who sent me is with me." This is Jesus speaking of the Father. "He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." And if there's something we want to emulate about Jesus this year, something we want to make a value, it's, "God, we want to please you. We want to be able to say, Lord, we always do the thing that pleases you." Now that's obviously going to be a journey and a process of the Holy Spirit. But let's make that our aspiration for the new year. We know that God loves us and delights in us just because we're his children. And any parent will say this, they look at their children with such delight and such love. But there's times when their children are living the values that have been imparted to them. And they're just being delightful. Parents, you know that. When you go, "Oh my word, my child is just being delightful." And they bring you such joy when they're reflecting the values that you value. And that's what God loves us, regardless of our brokenness, of our smolderingness, whatever it is that we're battling with. But there's times when we say, "Lord, I want to live to please you." When he's going, "I'm just delighted. My heart is joyful." The soul, just think about this, guys. You and me have such influence in the throne of the universe. God who rules the universe. You have the power to bring his heart's joy Guys, that's mind-blowing. By our attitude, by our words, by the way we treat our wives, our children, our neighbors, our employees, our employers, the people that hate us, by the way we treat them. We can do it in a way that in heaven, God, His heart is responding to our measly lives and going, I'm delighted. That delightful child of mine, they're living like my son. Just, if you take anything home today, go home and meditate. Why would the God of heaven ever care? But care enough to go, my heart is burning with joy at the behavior and the attitudes of one of my sons or daughters. There's reason, there's motivation, there's value for this year. There's resolution. It's just mind-blowing that we can delight the soul of our Father. Thessalonians 4 verse 1 says this, finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do that more and more. Wow, there's a great scripture. Paul said, the scripture shows us how we ought to walk and how we can please God. And he says, you're doing it, but do it more and more. Grow in that capacity to love God. And if that loving God, to please God, to know that the heart of the God of heaven is resonating, when we resonating with his values and the things that he loves, and we delighting his soul, we knock that domino over this year. All the other dominoes are going to fall. All the other things are going to fall into place if we make that a central. The everydayness of our loving actions, our attitudes and our words, the everydayness, the smallness of how we are in the kitchen, how we are in the workplace, bringing delight to the Father. What intimacy that is, what connection that is with the heart of the God who loves. And we can please that heart. The Greek dictionary defines the concept of pleasure like this. To accommodate oneself to the opinions, desires, and interests of others. You see that heart ties in with the whole servanthood idea as well. May the Holy Spirit help us to accommodate ourselves to God's opinion, desires, and interests. What a value to pursue this year. Everything, as I said, will fall into place if we do that. Let's do what this scripture says. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9. It says, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Let's make it our aim to please him. Make it our aim to delight the heart of the Father. Proverbs 26 verse 18 says this, he who tends the fig tree will eat its fruit. Whoever takes care of his master will be honored. The word there, take care, in the Hebrew, is attend to, take heed, look narrowly, observe, preserve, regard, wait for, watch and obey. The NET Bible notes say this, takes care of describes carefully watching over and looking after a meticulous service and anticipation of needs, safeguarding the change. Such a servant need not worry about his efforts going unrecognized or unrewarded. What a beautiful thing that we would be meticulous watching. God, what is it? What is it that you want to do here? What is your opinion about this thing? What is your way here? What is your delight? What is your pleasure here? We're watching meticulously. And it says we will be rewarded for that. That's just the cherry on the top. That's just the side effect. The greatest reward is to know that there's pleasure in our Father's heart. But then when he goes, oh, you're my delightful child, and he just adds other blessings. He just will reward us, and he'll reward us eternally. May God help us. And just the final passage, just very practically, Matthew 26, verse 17. And it says, on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal for you. And this is so practical. This is just like they needed to have a Passover meal. And Jesus' boys, his servants, his disciples came and said, Lord, where do you want us to do this for you? And let's make it just as practical as that. As we go into this new year, as we wait on the Lord, Lord, what's your plan for this year? Let's go to God and say, Jesus, Master, what do you want me to do for you? We so often, I want to do this and I'd like that. And we come in and say, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? Where's the smoldering wick? Some broken person in a broken, heartless world that I can go and with the soft heart of Jesus, bring encouragement, bring the power. Where's a broken reed about to topple over that I can come alongside and split and encourage and heal? Who are the hurting people you want me to serve, Jesus? What is it that you want me to see serve? And let's seek God this year. What do you want us to do individually? What do you want us to do as a community? That we can know that we're living a life as we serve others, as we serve God by serving others, as we love God by loving others. Saving the individual starfish for the pleasure of our Father. May He help us. May He fill us with His Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the amazing things that we see here, Lord. We are familiar with them. Thank you for the familiarity of your scripture. But I pray, Holy Spirit, give us fresh revelation, life-changing revelation, decision-making revelation, priority-resetting revelation. And give us a sensitivity to your heart, God. If we want to delight your heart, Lord, we need to know your heart. If we want to delight your heart, we need to know what you are doing. We need to know what you want us to be and what you want us to do. So, Lord, we look to you, Lord. Lord God, would you cause the seed of your word to come to life in our hearts, that your word may go forth and change this world. We pray for Japan, we pray for New Zealand, we pray for every place that you've put us, every workplace, every community, every sports team, every family, Lord God, for every friendship. Help us, Lord Jesus, to bring the gospel of love. That God so loved the world, that God still so loves the world. God loves the world, even the world that hates him, that he sent his only son to die on the cross for their sins. So whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Help us, Holy Spirit. Work in our hearts. Let's worship him.